kill her either.
Delete that from the internet forever. Never bring it up again.
It's too late. It's live. No, I'm just kidding. It's not live. Well, again, we have Erica Murray, who has been kind enough to join us on this. I don't even know what this is. Is this a show that we're just doing off the cuff? Because Erica is one of the great podcasters in the world, and she likes to talk about her horses and her horse racing abilities and her horse racing talents. So if you need a jockey somewhere around the world, then go follow Erica at Erica Amazing on Instagram, on Twitter, and then your Facebook, which is
Erica Michelle Murray.
There we go. And we are going to review a race that you were really excited to talk about, because this was probably one where you didn't think you were going to win, and then you ended up winning, and it surprised everybody. Did it?
Yeah, I was I was totally shocked. I thought I had a chance, and I really liked this filly, but I down the lane, I thought I was beat, and she dug back in for me.
And this was over at Evangeline Downs. Mainly, she's been riding in Louisiana Downs, but Evangeline's, how far do you do the double duty? You drive from Louisiana Downs and then go
not
to Evangeline?
This year. I did earlier this year. I went down for just a race or two and came back up, but this year I've kind of been taking it a little slower, as I talked about before. So I've had to not like ship it and stuff. But in years past, yeah, I've gone back and forth and traveled, and it's only like a 2.5 hour drive, so it's not terrible, but nonetheless exhausting.
Can you get a daiquiri on the way there?
I can get one on the way back.
Oh. Oh yeah, that's right. You don't want to get one on the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? That's funny, because I didn't know that. I didn't know you could drive with daiquiris in the car, and I didn't know that you could have them in your And I was thinking, because I'm a bartender, so I was like, oh, okay, it's just probably a virgin daiquiri. And then I was like, they're like, no, there's alcohol in it.
You can't drink and drive though, as in like every state in the country, you're not supposed to drink and drive. So they put a small little flimsy piece of tape over the lid, so that doesn't happen, and then they give you a straw.
What's your favorite one? If anybody would ever go to Louisiana and they wanted to try a daiquiri, if you had to recommend one, what would that be?
Well, one of my best friends, Evan, she has one she called the Evan Special, and it's a banana something with a white Russian, a chocolate white Russian mixed together. And that's the greatest daiquiri I've ever had in my life.
And that's a normal thing. You just get it every time.
Yeah. I'll go out of my way to go get that. That one's kind of at like a special, like not chain daiquiri place in New Orleans. And I'll go out of my way for that one. It's pretty freaking good.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got introduced to those chips, those Zap chips. Is that a real thing, or is that just like a brand?
Yeah, baby. I love Zaps. Heck yeah. I snack on those all the time. I snack on them before races, too.
Because I tried the Voodoo Heat one, and I was like, I thought it was going to be hot, and it wasn't hot.
No, yeah, they're not really hot chips.
Oh, like, but that those Voodoo ones are really, I don't know what it is about the spice or whatever it is, but it's really good.
I don't know what's in there. Have you tried the wrap snacks, like the Boozy chips and the Lil Wayne chips? We have them all at the store.
Oh, those? Yeah, we do have them around here, but I've never tried them.
Every time I see a Louisiana rapper, I always get them. I'm like, we them boys, like, we gotta stand up for them.
Wouldn't that be funny if you had your own chips, like the Erica Murray chips, the E.M. Murray chips? What would they be?
It would be like zero. It would be like 0.5 calorie chips, and they'd be like really thin, and you can barely even. I mean, you have to take the bag and like shuffle them in because they just disintegrate instantly.
Cool Ranch or what?
No. It'd definitely be like cheese, and no specified flavor either. Just cheese flavored. Yeah.
Well, if I start calorie counting, I'm definitely going to buy like 20 million boxes of those.
Thank you. Exactly.
All right, let's get into this race. Almost 2 years ago, which 2020, I'm sure, was your greatest year in horse racing, correct?
I believe so. I think that was my most wins and my most consistent year.
All right. And let's take us through this race. So this is race number 9 at Evangeline Downs. It was for fillies and it was a claiming race. And what was the name of the horse?
Sassy Camille. And I'd already won on her, her maiden. I broke her maiden. And then we ran one time and she ran okay. And then this was the race back from that. So it was my third time on her. I'm in the
and
two
this
hole,
is 6 furlongs, I believe.
I think it's 5.5 from this angle. I could be wrong.
Now, does that extra half a furlong matter to some horses?
Absolutely. It's funny how some of them, they're just, they need it. And some of them, they really, they don't need it at all. It just depends on how much speed they have and if they're a sprinter. Or, it plays so different to a 5.5 versus 6 furlong race. Like the way the race sets up usually is a lot different.
All right. As you say that, let's see.
I'll set for the start.
Turn the volume down. There you go. Oh, there's an entry. So you drew number 1.
Right. Which I liked on her because I'd won on the rail before. So I was excited to have the rail again.
And then we keep going here. So the turn to the run in is pretty quick. Like you go to the turn pretty fast.
Yeah, and Evangeline riders, a lot of them go to Delta Downs in the winter, so there's a lot of speed. I mean, the race is there. They send a lot, and I think Evangeline's pretty fast too. So the speed tends to hold.
So we're gonna stop. We're gonna show you here. So about right here, past that pole, you're gonna get headed a bit as you approach the turn. So in your mind, what you were thinking is like, is this horse is gonna pass me?
I felt like I was a little hooked on, but especially with like horses, at this level, you have to build their confidence like every chance you get. So I like in that turn, you can see me like I'm trying to keep ahead on that horse on my outside because my filly, I don't want to break her confidence. I want to break the horse's confidence next to me. So I'm trying to head him. I'm trying to like intimidate him by keeping that nose like ahead of him. And here, my filly was digging in, but I was a little concerned. But she doesn't seem to be fazed by like other horses or anything in this position. So that's where I'm benefiting from.
So I'm going to replay it back to where closer to the break. So there's one on the outside, that number 9, and then there's the one that's going to put pressure on you here. Were you more concerned about the one putting pressure on you or the one that's on the way outside, on the extreme
outside? The one directly close to me. I wasn't actually very concerned about that one. I don't know. You can just feel other horses in a race, and I just didn't like feel him, I guess, if that's the right word.
So now we're about, I think, the 1/8 or the 3/8 or whatever it is. And then you're about here. So now you're in a duel with that horse that put pressure on you. Then you just see that 9 flying on the outside. But you weren't really worried about him because you were worried about this one. So if we play it back a little bit, when he starts making a move, and then right here, when you're on the rail, did you think you had the best run of the race there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, a rail run's the best one. And the horse next to me, I remember being pretty game, but I do know the rider was sending to stay with me. And I was actually okay with that because as you can see, like this filly really thrives from like pressure from other horses. So, and that's something riders have to make a decision. And I've had 10 riders tell me 10 different things about this, but when you're in the duel about either bringing your horse into the horse next to them or letting them stay like in their path. And I mean, there's been cases where I like in this case, I mean, I can do anything. I'm on the rail, so I'm staying here, but he comes to me to try to intimidate me and possibly have his horse go on, which when you're on the outside, usually that is the case. You'll kind of squeeze that inside horse. But it actually made my filly engage more. She like thrives from that pressure. So see right here, he's coming in. And she just takes off from that.
So there is sort of like a mental tactic when they're when they are on the run on the when they approach the stretch. So when they're here, so he's not looking at that horse anymore. Now this other one from the extreme outside comes in and then just eyeballs him and then starts digging in. Do you know that? Do horses know that? Like when they start seeing them, they just run away from them.
The good ones do, and they're. Horses are naturally competitive, and that's like naturally, I mean, like on a what's the word, primal level. The fastest horse is the one that survives in the wild, so they are going to try to outrun each other in the pasture. Babies, you see them playing, you'll see little babies racing each other, and people will be like, oh, they know they're going to be race horses. Like, yeah, they are bred for this. They, most of them, good ones, have that natural instinct. Sometimes, a lot of them, we teach them to be race horses. But, you know, I'd say every so often, I don't know, one out of 10, probably even that much, they do have like a natural want to be in front, to win.
And I think you were confident towards then because it was just a hand ride from there.
Yeah, well, and I and like it's funny because sometimes you're hitting and they're not responding, and sometimes you're pushing and they're really responding, so it's different for every horse, so you kind of got to feel out like what they're responding to. But especially like that last little bit, I find like if I just go to the hand ride, they go on from that.
Yeah, because it looks like it was a done deal. Like that's a wrap. Like once you started going onto the rail and then seeing that horse, if I was a better, I probably would have been worried.
Right.
But you see that the like when did you ask him to change the lead?
I was asking the whole time down the lane. I mean, I try to get really? Him to switch leads as soon as they come down. But I'm very big on if they don't switch for me automatically, I'm gonna ask, but I'm never gonna like, you'll see some people like kind of pull them over. Mm-hmm. And I just don't do that because if they're comfortable and they're running, I feel like it's worse to get them off their stride and to kind of like jostle them like that than to switch at all. Uh-huh. Rather than be comfortable.
Yeah, because it was just like a couple of whacks and then that was it. Like I said, it was a done deal. That's a wrap. You win the race. And how did you feel about the gallop out after?
Loved it. I was just so excited we came back like that. And that it was kind of a similar ride on the rail and coming back on a horse on the outside. And I also, just commenting on the hand ride part, I'm very big on like, okay, if I hit a horse and they respond, I'm going to stop hitting and hand ride, because if we just hit them and hit them and hit them, they don't learn anything. So horses learn from the release of pressure. So I want them to learn that, like, okay, I'm putting pressure, so-called, on them, hitting them. And then I'm, you know, when they respond, I take it off. So they learn to run from that. Or the same thing with hand riding. I mean, I go to hand ride and then they learn eventually, you know, you're hand riding and they respond from that more, kind of in a way. It's, yeah, so.
No, does Evangeline, do a lot of tracks still have the metal running rail? Because it looks like everybody's going to go towards the plastic ones now. Do you think every track should have that for the safety of the horse and for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I saw this video, I think maybe, it might have been a couple years ago now, and I think it was Keeneland maybe, but it was a horse that had spooked into the inside rail. I think it was on the turf though, and he ran straight into it and it just broke away, and it was like in slow motion, and I was like, that's beautiful, because that's a really dangerous situation.
Yeah, because I know they like to be closer to the rail. That's why I know that a lot of places internationally have now gone to the plastic one. But look at that, 11-1 beat two favorites. What were you thinking, like heading back towards the winner's circle?
Oh, so she had some great owners, and there's some party people. So I was just like, it's fun to win for people that are excited and happy. And I mean, it's fun to win for anybody, but you know, especially like people who are pumped and just were so excited just to win another one back, and we didn't think we would. So,
well, it's funny because like every time I've seen like a lot of your wins, you always give that a little extra ounce of love at the end. I know a lot of jockeys do that too, but then like this one, it just seems like you were really genuinely excited and everything just came for you. And especially in 2020 when we were all in lockdown and all this other stuff. So it was like a big win for yourself and a big win for everybody, no matter where it is. So it's like, yeah, it's really cool to see that, that, you know, sometimes the stars are the, or sometimes even if you're the star, the horses are more of the star, right? Is that,
absolutely.
Do I sound stupid or?
No, the horses, I mean, without them, there'd be, it's not called jockey racing. It's horse racing. And, I mean, they give us so much. It's crazy sometimes. I mean, what do these horses get out of this? They don't get money. They don't get, you know, they train hard. They're athletes. They have jobs, and I mean, they just give everything, and there's nothing like that. So I really do. I appreciate them.
Now, do you get, we're going to go back here. That was a good win. That was actually, she fought back. That was really cool. Just a couple more questions about that. So do you ever get disappointed or sad when a horse gets claimed that you've ridden before? And has, I'm sure it's happened, but do you like see them after or anything like that?
Yeah, I get really sad. I think the hardest I ever cried, it was a horse I rode named Blue Choice. I won when I was a bug on him. And then I think I rode him, it might have been quite a while later. It might have even been 2 years later, but it was definitely like a year later. I was riding him again. I picked him back up, and I love this horse. I was so excited to be back on him. Like he was pretty fairly cheap, but I loved him. Cool horse. And when he got claimed, I'm telling you, I got back and I saw them standing there with the halter for a different owner. And I just took my goggles and put them down and walked straight to the room. I was distraught. I was so sad because I didn't ride for the person who claimed him. So I knew like I wasn't going to get to ride him anymore. And then I didn't know where he was going to go. But I try to make an effort to keep up with horses if I really, almost all of them I try to keep up with. Even ones I don't race ride, like if I just scalped them or even if I just knew them, I want to see them go on to like a good home when they get done racing. And I, and even if they go to a good home, I would like to know where it's at just so I can keep myself updated on them.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've been through the ownership part, and it's always sad to see them claim, especially sometimes it's not even about the money. It's just because you had that connection with the horse and you saw it in the barn every day, and then you see it with new owners and it's kind of like, oh,
right. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
And then you start seeing like, I'll ask you this. Has there ever been one that you've ridden before? Then it started to start like it went up to like allowance, and then it went to like a stakes race, and you're like, oh man, that's the one that got away. That would have been me.
Yes, there is a horse that I think about constantly, Birdie's Galaxy. But in you know, all honesty, I was off last year. I didn't stay riding anyways, so I would have been off of him anyways. But that haunts me at night. Yeah, it's but it's part of the game. I mean, Mike Smith has been taking off horses, so I don't take things personal. Life happens. Like I said, I wasn't riding all last summer, so they were gonna have to find him a jockey anyhow. I'm so happy just to be like connected to a horse like that. It's really cool to say like I've won like two or three races on him, and just being a part, he'll probably, you know, be in the Hall of Fame or something. That horse, Louisiana Hall of Fame. Like, he's so cool. He's been Horse of the Year, maybe. I could be wrong on that. I don't know. But yeah. In Louisiana, I should say. Not Horse of the Year, like Eclipse Award, but like in Louisiana, he was, I think he might have been Horse of the Year. I could be wrong.
Now, I noticed that half again, you've ridden half again. That was one of the horses that you had in Louisiana. Now it looks like, am I seeing this right? Like he has babies that are racing now?
No, he's by half hours. And that's
who, that's who I was thinking of. Okay.
Who sadly passed away. And also, I don't know if this is breaking news, but Kitten's Joy passed away today or yesterday. So yeah. That was really bad.
So a lot of these ones that you start to notice, like, especially Kitten's Joy was always a good turf horse.
Always, so. Yeah.
Did really you get to cool. ride any of them?
Not that I can think of, but I met him, so that was incredible. Yeah, I got to meet him and Half Hours, and it's really amazing to meet the stud horses. I went to Clear Creek Farm here. It's the local stud farm, and they had like Star Guitar and Half Hours and Cousin for Carlos and. It's just, you know, for me, like I've rode all those my whole career, all these different horses and buy them and just to see them and like be able to see the similarities between their babies and them. And then I met Curlin. That was a really cool. He was so cool. He was such a dude. He was sweet. And I mean, he was like, just like fighty and I'd rode a horse forever by him, Case's Ticket, and they looked, I mean, just alike. They looked just alike. So I love going to the farms.
So it is like the progeny you do see when you're actually racing because you see like the same physical traits that the horse that they used to have. So you do see that. And do you ever like notice it when you're racing on the track too? Like, okay, he was a turf horse. Yeah, he was really good. Now this horse is pretty good on the turf.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, when deciding to run horses on the turf, most of the time they're looking if the horse had turf pedigree just to even try it at all. Like, that's a huge factor, especially turf and also, like, physical attributes of the horses. But, yeah, their parents, it's very important to deciding. I mean, if, you know, the mare was a champion sprinter, you're probably not going to run that baby long the first few times. You're going to try to see if they'll go short like their mama did or something. But yeah, that's, I mean, in horse racing, that's huge. But then there's also just like freaks of nature, like California Chrome and situations like that, Rich Strike. But
oh, absolutely.
Most often than not, like you're going to run based on like what their lineage is.
Speaking of turf, so you've been to a lot of different turf tracks, or you've raced in a lot of different turf tracks. I think, Indiana, Fairgrounds, obviously, Louisiana Downs, Evangeline. Which one's your favorite out of those? Or one I didn't even mention.
What is my favorite turf track? I like Louisiana Downs' turf. I don't know why. I like the way it plays. It seems to always be pretty... Like, I don't know. It just seems to be good. Every time I ride on it, I don't find it difficult to ride. I will say, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know the one I like the least. And it's definitely Fairgrounds, but it's not
really
not the turf itself. Like the turf is good, but the turf, the turn is really, you have to be a really good rider to ride a good turf race on that. Like it is sharp. And the riders there, they ride so tight. They're so competitive. I mean, it's a great track to ride because it just pushes you in that way. But that turn, I mean, I had so many races I swung out wide because I just wasn't, like, really tucking myself in well. And it's just very, like, sharp. The turns.
So there's like a really sharp, like, okay, so it's kind of there's another track that's like that, like where there's really tight turn. Happy Valley in Hong Kong's like that too.
To me, I mean, it's not like, you know, like insanely, like, I mean, it's not like you're literally just like doing a like 360. but to me it is a little more than the others, and I've experienced it that I really have to ride like smart races on that turf. I can't I have to establish position really fast and get in and like be proactive.
Now, do when you're racing on the turf, because I know this is more like a European thing or Australian thing, do you go out there and walk the course and see if do you get like the going stick and then see how deep the turf is or if it's running good, or you know, like you find a good part of the turf when you go on there? Do you guys do stuff like that here in America?
I used to run the turf a lot, but due to global warming, I can't, or I'll die right now. It's 120 degrees outside, so I can't really. It's a nice thought, but I haven't been running the turf probably like I should. But every other part of the year, I do. I run the turf all the time.
No, I've seen like a lot of a lot of jockeys like in Australia. So it's weird. Sometimes they go anti-clockwise, or clockwise. And then one of the ones that I've seen where they took the good part of the course that the horses don't really run into, and that's closer to the stand side running rail. Are there kind of tactics like that too in our racing in America? Like, would you go all the way to that part of the rail and try to get your horse going from there? Or is it more of like the middle of the crown or the crown of the course, or even like the rail on the inside?
Yeah. So I did notice at fairgrounds this year, like the wider they went, it seemed the horses were going on, cause maybe the track was just like, you know, maybe it rains and water sat like in that inside little bit or something. So yeah, sometimes like I'll go a little bit out or maybe like toward the middle, but never the outside rail. That's just not something like we do here on purpose.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Cause like, I guess it's because of it's mainly turf races and we don't get to see, we switch surfaces all the time, but I think that if you were to get that chance to ride in Hong Kong, that would be more your thing. Cause they do have dirt over, well, they call it all weather, but it's a dirt track. And it plays exactly here in America. You have to be on the speed, or else if you're too far behind, you're not going to make it. But you would be running the opposite way. So do you think you could adapt to that?
I don't know. I'm pretty dyslexic. So, I mean, it's not looking good for me. If I think about driving, like where they drive on the opposite side of the road, I'll just die. Like, there's no way. I'm going to have to like get somebody to chauffeur me around.
Well, let's get to know a little bit about the person outside of horse racing. What do you like to do outside of racing onto the track and doing stuff like a normal day for you?
Well, today was my somewhat off day. I just had work like this morning, and in the afternoon I went to the barn and I decorated the sign and I put flowers outside the barn and I pet all my horses. That was my trip to the outside world today.
And you do that all like is it a day, like do you get a day off?
Yeah, so I do here, which is nice. Wednesdays are my off days. The track is closed, so I actually have a true off day. I'm just like Cardi B said, a regular schmegler girl, but not from the Bronx. I have my dogs. They take up like the rest of my life, and I'm pretty active. I mean, I go to the gym, I run, I do yoga. I really like yoga, but I'm like totally a horse girl. It's like, it consumes my entire life, my whole being. On my off days, I'm just like, I'm going to buy stuff for my favorite horse at the barn, or I'm going to like, I think of something randomly we need at the barn and I'll bring it. Like, I'm just, crazy. I don't know. This is all I think about. I think about podcasts I should be doing with horse racing.
Well, you're a big music person as well. We know that your favorite artist is Beyonce. Did you ever get to see her in concert?
No. You know what? I had tickets. I had tickets for this is the sad story of all time. For the Formation World Tour for my 21st birthday. And it was on my birthday, like fate, right? Beautiful. And I broke my arm 2 days before. And I'm laying in the hospital. I'm laying there. I'm looking at my phone and I see the tour. And they say, thank you, Big Frida, for being our special surprise guest at the show. And I just turned. I was like, pull the freaking plug, Doc. Like, this is it. I'm done. I'm over this. This is just the worst thing I can imagine. Yeah. So that was pretty tragic.
What's your favorite song?
Oh God, I don't know. I really love Beyonce. I was her top 1% listener on Spotify last year. I'm really dedicated. I am totally in the Beehive. I follow Beyonce fan accounts on Twitter. I'm not well. Like it's a lot. No, I like her new song with Big Frida, Break My Soul. That was pretty good.
Not a
The Lemonade album was so good. I so good. It's all good. The Homecoming. See, you shouldn't have asked this question. The Homecoming movie was incredible. I mean, I like just about everything she's ever put out.
So you were a Destiny's Child fan as well.
Oh, that was my go-to karaoke song in high school. I got kicked out of Applebee's singing what? Survivor. So.
Oh, wait, hold on. Can you elaborate more on that? How did you get kicked out?
I went to an app. I rallied a friend group in high school, and I said, guys, there is karaoke night at Applebee's, and what else can we do in high school? So, I mean, we're cow tipping at this point. I mean, it's bad out here. These kids don't have anything to do. So I find out that they have karaoke at Applebee's. Well, I didn't realize, I mean, these people that were going to this, they were very serious. This was not like, it's not your mama's karaoke. Like people came like fully dressed up and whatever, like, I don't know, like performance outfit. They came with like their managers. I'm telling you, very, very intense karaoke at Applebee's in Bossier City. So my dog has joined the interview. But
maybe he might have a Beyonce story.
Probably. Yeah. So me and my friends, you know, we're just all in there like, wow, like crazy. I mean, we were like 15, 16, and I was just being probably insane. And they politely asked me to please leave. They were like, this is a serious event. And I just put my heart and soul into, I sang Survivor and I sang Say My Name. So.
Wow. Well, Applebee's,
but I was like on the floor doing the splits. Yeah, Applebee's.
If you're watching, give her another chance. Let her come back in. She will.
They actually canceled karaoke.
They canceled it. Oh, man. They canceled it. Yeah.
I shut it down.
Who in their life would ever say I got kicked out of an Applebee's because I performed two Beyonce songs?
You know what? I hope Beyonce takes notice. That's really good. And I would do it
if
again.
Beyonce watches, if she's watching, I hope you're proud because she is. I can't even finish the sentence.
It's okay.
Well, that's pretty cool. But I know that you've been, I know you're big on music. And well, aside from Beyonce, what else do you listen to?
I have like such an insane playlist right now. Like when people ask me that question, I remember one day in the kitchen at the tracks and I was like, what kind of music do you listen to, Erica? And everybody was around and I just like sweating, like pitting horribly. I was like, like just, you know, pop. I didn't know what else to say because like I mean, I love I'm really like, I love musicals. I love every musicals. Every race day I put on Maybe This Time by Liza Minnelli and I just sit in my car and I just cry and scream that song out and then I go to the racetrack and I feel good. I feel ready. Do you know that song?
Can you sing it?
No.
Oh. Well, I guess I'll look it up later. But do they let you listen to music when you're on the track, like galloping the horses?
I've seen some guys with the little the Apple earbuds,
the AirPods,
AirPods. Oh my God, I'm like an 80-year-old woman. Yeah, the AirPods, and I'll see that. But me, like I said, I cannot. Like, there's no way. I have to be fully 100% into it. Sometimes I get songs stuck in my head.
Can you just start singing it while the horses are galloping?
Yeah, if I'm alone, hopefully. If I'm by myself, if nobody can hear me.
Somebody's like, what the hell are you singing?
Right, exactly. But it's never something like, I don't have some like kind of like fun poppy song in my head. I'll have some like random church hymn from when I was like 7, and it just won't like get out.
Is that only on Sundays?
People who grew up Catholic know exactly what I'm talking about right now.
I am Catholic, so I know.
Okay, well then you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know if we have the same songs, like
they're all the same.
They're all the same?
All of them, telling you. It's the same book.
Oh god, now I'm trying to think of the songs that we were doing because I know that there's the communion song. I don't know if you know it. Yeah.
Have you seen that meme? It's like, how many syllables are in hallelujah? And it's like Catholics 20.
Hallelujah. Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, and my grandparents live next door to me right now, and they're always they hum a lot, and it's always like it's always church hymns. I'm always hearing it. So yeah, it's like constant. It's like that Energizer bunny just
keeps going. And you just randomly, like out of nowhere, you just start randomly thinking about it. You'll just be like sitting down, having a dinner, and then you're like thinking about your Holy Communion.
I really am. you don't understand.
Oh man, all right. Well, this was a lot of fun, Erica. Like getting to know a little bit more about you, especially after seeing you win so many times. We are going to see you at a Louisiana Dells. You're going to be there for the whole meet, or are you going to, you have any future endeavors that you're thinking about doing?
I'll definitely be here for the meet. I don't know, maybe October. I would like to get to Keeneland, even if it's just to like visit. I love Keeneland in the fall. I love Keeneland fashion in the fall. I just like the whole atmosphere, so it'd be really fun to go there a couple days. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just ready to get back to New Orleans, honestly. I'm ready for fairgrounds.
Are you a big fashion person yourself?
Oh yeah. I love
you. I wear the fascinators up and all that?
I don't know. Well, I like fashion. I mean I like derby fashion, I guess, but like I like fashion I don't know. That's one of my perks of my job, one of my favorite parts about like what I do is that I can like do a different outfit, and I can really like outfit plan and wear different clothes and dress up for the races.
Okay. What's the biggest pet peeve that you've seen a guy wear that they should not be wearing?
Oh God.
And you're like looking at it and like, well, he was cute, but he was, I don't know, wearing skin tight ripped jeans.
That's a big question. I'm gonna have to say those really passive aggressive like shirts I see on Facebook. Do you know what I'm talking about? And they're like I'm trying to explain this because this is a good question, but I see them sometimes and they're like, you think you can mess with me? Like, I'm in the oil field and I'll kill you on sight.
Oh, graphic shirt that says random stuff.
Whoa, that's really intense. Or it's like, I'm from the South, and if you mess with my wife, I'll strangle you, buddy. I'm like, nobody said that. Like, who are you talking to?
And people actually wear that, like where you are, they actually wear it.
Yes. I also hate to say it to any girl that wears these, but I really don't like those shirts that are like, I'm a sweet tea drinking four wheeler riding kind of girl. It's just not. Like, we have to do better.
Oh God. Okay, well, what is the most attractive thing then if we flip it around?
A smile.
A smile? Are you sure?
clothes. What is the most attractive thing?
Like guys that like roll up their sleeves when they're wearing like a long sleeve or like a button up shirt, or I mean, not that I would know or anything.
A big fat wallet. I don't really. Go. I mean, sorry. I don't. It's oh, yeah, see, no. I don't know. I mean, I just would like for somebody to look put together.
There's a dollar.
Ooh, big balla, shot balla.
Can't even buy anything with a dollar. Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Keep going.
You can buy. I bought a plank of wood today for 94 cents. So you can buy that. Wow. I don't know. With inflation in California, maybe not.
Wow. Maybe it was 50 cents. You got a good deal.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. On the fashion front, I can't think of anything like specifically that would. Either way, I mean, if you're wearing like ripped jeans and a polo, it might look okay. If you're wearing ripped jeans and a ripped shirt, maybe that would look odd.
Like maybe if it has ripped, like you just came from Jurassic Park,
right? Exactly. Like maybe then if it's like the Yeezy collection, you know what I'm talking about? Or the, okay. You know what? Actually, here's one. The Balenciagas.
There we go. We got it. There we go. Okay.
That they just released. Did you see those Balenciagas that were like lit on fire and ripped up? And they were like fashion. That's stupid. I don't like that. And if I'm sure there's somebody who bought those too.
I'm sure there has, but it's a fashion statement apparently. And they want to make it.
There's, okay, that's fine. They can make that statement. It's not a good statement. I don't
just
know.
Not with you.
Care.
They just won't it's do not, it with you.
It's not giving what they expect it to give.
Maybe they need to buy a plank of wood for 94 cents.
It was for the barn. I'm just letting you know.
Oh. Oh, dear. Okay, I guess we'll end it there. Oh man, Erica, thanks again. That was a lot of fun. It's you're always entertaining to talk to because you just come up with some of these funny things.
Thank you. I've decided now that my podcast career is really starting to take off, I need to follow in the footsteps of the great Paris Hilton and create an entire new personality. So from here on out, somebody new's coming, baby. It's about to I don't know, about to take off.
Well, now you can follow Erica on Instagram, and that is at Erica Amazing, and also on Twitter at Erica Amazing, and then your Facebook is
Erica Michelle Murray.
Is there an at? There's no at in Facebook, is there?
No, but I should learn if there is. It would be helpful. It'd be a lot shorter than saying that.
Snapchat? Do you have a Snapchat?
I do. Erica Amazing.
All right, there you go, guys. Erica, thanks again. It was a lot of fun, especially breaking down that race, because I never seen one where they actually talk about when the horse actually gets beaten and then comes back and wants more and ends up winning. Because I always wondered that, like, do they, some of them just don't give up, which is actually really cool to see.
Yeah, just it's like it's like a little, I don't know, it's like one of those little special moments you have in racing when you have one do that. So I enjoyed discussing it.
All right, and we'll see you next time on this whatever show we're doing. We'll do another one soon. So see you guys later. Thanks, Erica, and
Thank
have
you.
A fun time.